This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is The Promise of Tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of The Promise of Tomorrow.
And so good to have you back again as we explore the exciting world of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio, remember, you can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. A very exciting show today. A guy we've been chasing for a long time. We finally caught up with him, Dave Stidham. He's the Senior Vice President and COO at Trace Amigas. And if you don't know what that is, you're going to learn. We're going to bring all of our power grids together, the Eastern, the Western, and Texas, in one place in Clovis, New Mexico. It has been quite a chore. They've been working on this for a number of years, and Dave is going to fill us in on how that's coming about. And, of course, at the end of the first half hour here, we're gonna visit our den of strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of. The next half hour, we're going to visit our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set for today's mystery question. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Before we get to today's guest, I want to remind you about the sixth annual Green Technologies Conference going on in Corpus Christi. You will not want to miss this one. A lot of really great things are happening with it, and I can tell you one thing that's going to be pretty riveting is the luncheon address on the 3rd of April by Francina Hallrus, who's CEO of the woman-owned security company that protects our nuclear installation. She's going to talk on green vulnerabilities and avoiding disaster. Absolutely riveting talk. You will not want to miss it. You can get online at IEEEGreenTech.org and register. That's IEEEGreenTech.org to register for the conference. Right now, I want to introduce you to a person we've been chasing for a while because of the very exciting project that he's working on. We heard about it a couple of years ago and know really very little about it, Trace Amigas. And we have with us Dave Stidham. He's a Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for the organization. And welcome to the program, David.
Thank you.
And I have to admit, I know nothing. I mean, I heard a few years ago that there were plans to hook up the Eastern electrical grid and the Western electrical grid with the Texas electrical grid at one spot someplace in Mexico, but I know nothing more than that. Can you tell us the concept of Trace Amigas?
Yes, certainly. As you pointed out, there's three distinct grids that are not synchronous with each other in the United States. For various reasons that's kind of interesting from a historical perspective. But we've got the Eastern grid and the Western grids. The Western grid starts in the middle of the nation and goes back to California to the Pacific Ocean. And the Eastern grid starts at where the Western grid leaves off and goes back to the Atlantic Ocean. Then Texas, the majority of Texas, has got its own independent grid called the Energy Reliability Council of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those three are not interconnected. There are smaller units that will connect one to the other, but not to all three. So Trace Amigas will connect all three of them through a new technology of a voltage source converter. The old ones are what they called line commutating converters, and they're based on a thyristor type of energy conversion. Through modern power electronics, were able to use insulated gate bipolar transistors to build a voltage source converter, which has got distinct advantages over the old, outdated line commutating converters.
Well, I was going to ask you why it was, or why it is, we think we need to connect all these together. Aren't they doing pretty good as standalones?
No, not really. I mean, they've been operating that way, but it's like your old granddad's utility. It hasn't improved much in the past several decades. You still buy your power by the kilowatt hour, and you use it to heat your house and to cool your house and light it. And so not much has changed in that arena over the past several decades.
Okay, so why is this change a good change? Is this going to, prevent cascading power failures, or is this going to do something that is beneficial for us? How is it good?
Okay, there's a number of elements that are, number one, that are allowing it to happen at this point in history. And one is that the Utility Commission in Texas ordered the Energy Reliability Council of Texas to build large transmission lines outside of its service territory up into the panhandle of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And it makes a big loop and goes from the populated areas that are in central Texas, like Fort Worth, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, in order to take renewable energy from the panhandle of Texas into the populated areas where it can be used. One of the disadvantages that our country has is throughout the middle of the United States are areas that are prime for renewable energy, for solar energy and wind energy.
Yeah.
But there's no load. All the load is on along the coast. And so you can't get that energy from the renewable plants to the populated areas unless you build transmission lines. So all three grids, for the first time in history, are within about 50 miles of each other. At the same time, the power electronics has changed for voltage source converters that will allow us to connect the three grids. And there are new computer developments that will allow us to make transactions in milliseconds for the trading of power. Now, this has advantages to the existing grids in that we can energize one grid from the other. So if one of the grids experienced a catastrophic failure and went in the dark, you could feed from the other grid through Tres Amigas and energize the grid that was in the dark. Also, it allows utilities that are existing to share reserves, their spinning reserves. In other words, a utility will have a 10 or 20% reserves that are spinning that's just wasted fuel, but it allows for the power to be continuous when you have fluctuations in the load. By connecting through Tres Amigas, they could cut that down to perhaps 10%. And share reserves, which has a long-term basis of lowering fuel costs and fuel consumption. The other advantage that Tres Amigas will have is that it allows energy producers to sell into multiple markets. Now, an energy producer, say from a renewable power plant in the panhandle of Texas, can sell to ERCOT or to the Eastern Grid through XL Energy. They can't do both. And, you know, if you've got a tremendous product, but you only have one market, that kind of minimizes your ability to sell that product. But through Tres Amigas, a wind developer can build a wind farm and can sell into all three markets. It can sell into the three grids through Tres Amigas, which gives the consumer more options and it gives the producer more options.
So what we're looking at then is these wind farms in West Texas We had to get transmission lines up for the receiving of the power that they're generating. And with Tres Amigas, that power could go to the eastern grid or the western grid or Texas or any place that they wanted to go. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, then the other question is, how do you... How does an electric company know that the power that they're getting from, you know, a West Texas wind farm isn't power that they're getting from an East Texas wind farm or from some, let's say, a wind farm in northern Illinois up near Chicago? I don't understand how all that works.
Well, you care. You know, you've got oil in a pipeline, and you have multiple oil companies that have put the oil in the pipeline, and you take it off at certain locations. You really don't know whose oil that is. You know, it's like if you go to a convenience store and it's got say a Shell or Texaco gas sign outside there,
yeah,
and you fill your car up, you put your credit card in the pump and you fill your car up. Do you know where that gasoline came from, or do you know where you bought it from? Who bought it? Who did you buy it from? You get your bill from the credit card company, but your credit card company did not buy that gas. More than likely, the convenience store did not buy that gas, and I would imagine that Shell or Texaco did not buy that gas. You had some independent jobber that put it in the tank, and you pump it out. As a consumer, you really don't care.
All right, so if I have a wind farm or a solar farm, let's say I've got a solar rooftop and I've got more power than I need in my house, and I'm feeding it back to the to ERCOT, to the electric grid. How is it determined that that particular wind farm in West Texas is getting paid for the power that it's putting out? Is it metered? Is that how it works?
Yes, each wind farm will be metered. And we'll have a transaction. Now, another unique feature of Tres Amigas is that we are developing a power exchange that will control these transactions that are occurring in Clovis, New Mexico, and our power exchange is going to be located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it will be a whole lot like the commodities exchange, where you have people trading various commodities. Of course, there'll be electricity, but it'll be various types of electricity. And we will have what the industry calls an OASIS, that's an open access same time information system, that an energy producer or an energy consumer can watch this board and see price differences that are occurring and can select where they want to purchase their power from at any particular time. Now, Texas in the Southwest Power Pool, the Eastern Grid, have just changed their marketing rules where you can buy and sell power on a five-minute basis.
Really?
So one of the problems with electricity is you haven't been able to store it in bulk systems. Not yet. The technology is changing.
It's just real tough,
and that will occur. But this will allow people to trade energy on a long-term basis or a same-time spot market basis or 5 minute ahead basis, and it's a lot like February corn. You can buy corn futures and you can trade it and sell it and make money off of it. You can't hold February corn in your hand, but you it's a commodity that you can exchange, and electricity will be the same way.
Wow, that's a fascinating concept. And of course, the other thing too that you mentioned is that there has to be so much wasted because you've got to keep things in reserve in case there's some sort of catastrophic power failure. You don't want to get on these power interruptions, especially for important installations like hospitals and military installations and that sort of thing. And in Texas, ERCOT tells me that there's 500 different sources, all tapped in to the ERCOT power grid. I imagine if we're going to combine this all together, so we're one massive continental United States power grid, and that's what I suppose this is going to be, there's going to be just thousands and thousands of sources. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah, we'll have a huge computer banks that are recording these transactions, tagging the electricity between buyer and seller. Trace Amigos will not own any electricity. We're not going to generate any electricity or use it. We're a toll bridge across this gap between three distinct grids, and we just charge for the trucks and the cars going across the toll bridge.
All right, that's pretty fascinating stuff. Give us some background. I've been hearing about Trace Amigos now for about 3 years and knew nothing about it until finally I got a chance to talk with you today. But where did it start? And tell us about Trace Amigos. That's not a place. That's a name of the operation, I guess. And is it privately owned, or are you a government organization, or how does that work?
No, it's a privately owned entity, and it will be one of the largest privately owned utility installations in the United States. And it came out of the brainchild of our CEO, Phil Harris, who developed this power exchange that I had described of transfers between multiple sellers and buyers back on the East Coast in a regional transmission operator area called PJM, which is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland, mm-hmm. Where they're closely connected, but there's a huge consumption of power back in that area, as you can imagine. And so he developed this exchange where these different entities in that area can buy and sell power on this basis. And he retired back in 2007, I believe, and then he went to was doing consulting work for the National Grid in China as they are developing their system. And I don't know if you're familiar with how China is developing, but it's industrializing and has got huge electrical infrastructure that it's building, and it's building it out of high voltage DC. And they've got huge developments that they're making in that area, and Phil was consulting them with them on that. And he combined the two and began thinking of the three-way exchange of power that could occur at Trace Amigos between the three grids. And as I said, the technology developed at the same time that the grids approached each other.
All right, so then he came up with this great idea, and he decided to call the operation Trace Amigos, but it's going to be in Clovis, New Mexico. Is going to be the what are we going to see when we go to Clovis, New Mexico? Is there going to be a site where like a big power plant or something where this is, or is it just going to be a substation with connections?
It's going to be a huge substation. Buildings, most of it will be inside. We're going to have valve halls where these transistors are hundreds of thousands of them are operating, and it will look like a manufacturing plant. There's not going to be any moving parts as such. It's not going to be a power plant. You won't see any emissions off of it. From the outside, it may look like a huge data center that has just got a lot of plumbing and wiring going in and out of it. It's named Trace Amigos, interestingly enough, because it's the three girlfriends.
Oh.
Not the Trace Amigos is the three boyfriends, but the three girlfriends. And electrical grid in Spanish has got a female gender
right.
Associated with it. And
wondering.
So it's the three grids that are being connected. And at the same time, and you can check this from some of your callers, I'm not aware of any power plant or large electrical facility that's named after a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, power plants are named after either a geological formation that they're near or after a past president of a utility company. And there hadn't been very many females that are running it. That, of course, is changing, but utility companies are not prone to build new power plants because people don't like to fund them and they don't like the emissions off of them.
That's fascinating. Yeah, the three girlfriends, and you've chosen a Spanish name, which is really interesting. Having it in New Mexico, a former Spanish territory before 1836, or no, I guess 1840, when we made it an American U.S. territory. Now, why was Clovis, New Mexico, chosen as the site for Tres Amigos?
Well, there again, a number of factors came into view, and New Mexico is becoming very business-friendly state. They're changing with the times as well. There's a lot of federal and state-owned land because it was a territory before it became a state. There's a lot of publicly owned land. The state land office in New Mexico had available around 15,000 acres, 22 sections of land that it made available at a good rate to Tres Amigos so that we can place our facility on this site and have a lot of room. The advantage to that is that the people that are currently leasing it for agricultural purposes will still be able to farm and graze cattle on the property that's not where we don't have our actual footprint on it. Also, as we were developing it and trying to decide where we were going to build our operations center, the state of New Mexico, the legislature enacted legislation that was passed unanimously by the House and by the Senate in New Mexico to lower our tax burden on gross receipts tax, which made it very attractive for us to build in New Mexico. Governor Martinez signed it into law, and so for the infancy portion of our operation, where we're building up and getting our finances going, we're getting a huge tax break in New Mexico. And the community of Clovis has given us overwhelming support.
Oh, yeah.
To build there and to help us in any way that they can, because they realize that that's going to be a big boom for their area if they can get wind renewable projects to build in their area. That's got a ripple effect that creates a lot of other industries that are associated with it.
Now, you get commitments then from the Eastern Grid and the Western Grid. I know you do from the Texas Grid because ERCOT has already told me that. But was that difficult? I mean, did you have to go to a lot of different agencies? Because the electricity, you know, is governed in New Jersey differently from what it is in Ohio, differently from what it is in Nebraska. What sort of gyrations did this require of you?
Well, we've been working 4 months on getting this done. And we did an environmental study of this state land that we're planning on building. And we did interconnection studies with Xcel Energy on the Eastern Grid and with Public Service New Mexico on the Western Grid. And they did probably 18 months of studies to verify that we weren't going to be a detriment to the system, that we weren't going to be adding any risk to the current operations, and that we weren't going to cause the grids to go unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have interconnection agreements with Public Service New Mexico and with Xcel. We're doing the studies with ERCOT right now with a utility that we're planning on interconnecting. And it's progressing along very well. We have approval from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on market-based rates. They've approved both interconnection agreements with us.
Well, that's good news. You're making lots of progress, and I'm kind of interested in some of the obstacles that you've run into. I'm sure the audience will find that interesting too. But right now, we have to take a quick break and then come back in the second half hour, and let's explore a little more of this, Dave, please. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Winston Churchill. You can always count on Americans to do the right thing after they've tried everything else.